Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
And we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins, and joining me this evening in place of Mr. Derek Diamond, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Joey Image. How are you doing this evening?
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I cannot I have not had you on the show filling in for Derek until now.
Yeah, no, I always thought that just the regular fill-in was Wally, so... I never even asked. I thought about it, but I never asked about it or anything. I don't want to seem like, I don't want to be like that guy. Hey, can I be on your show?
Well, usually Wally's my go-to guy. I'm just like, he's the guy that'll do anything I asked him to do. So
yeah,
but yeah.
I'm actually very excited for why Derek's not here tonight for his movie.
Yeah, I know.
So I haven't seen any pictures yet. I don't know if he's posted any, but I know he said he's doing touristy stuff first couple of days and then Wednesday's movie day.
Well, earlier today he sent us a picture. He was having a Dole Whip. Apparently they must have gone
Saw that. I don't know what the hell that is. Is it just an ice cream cone cup thing?
Dude, you've never had a Dole Whip?
I don't think so. I saw that and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but
Dole
it looks
Whip.
Good.
Dole Whip is a pineapple ice cream delight that you get in Disney parks. And it is delicious and refreshing. And I have dreams about the Dole Whip. I didn't
I've
know
never
about
been
the
to
Dole
Disney
Whips.
In California, so maybe that's. I don't. I'm assuming they have it in Florida.
Oh yeah, they do. Because Wally's the one who got me into them. Me and Wally went to Florida one time. We were actually finalists for the World Series of Pop Culture back when that was on VH1, and we were in the casting call, and we were in the finals. Our team,
oh, cool.
We were called the Party Pack of Neck Bones. We got to the finals, but we got knocked out right before they were picking the last bit of teams to go on the show, and we got beat out, I think, by a team called the Orlando Calrissians. So
that's a terrific name.
But we were in Disney, me, Wally, and our friend Brian. We were in Disney for like the whole weekend, so. We were like, well, what are we going to do the rest of the weekend? We were planning on being here for like, 3 or 4 days. So we were like, screw it. Let's go to Disney. And Wally was just the whole time, he's just like, I gotta get a Dole Whip. Dole Whips are the greatest thing on the planet. I'm like, what the hell is a Dole Whip? I don't even know. What is a Dole Whip? Is that like Dolomite? I kept calling it Dolomite all weekend. He's like, you got to try it. It's great. And he finally got me to try it. And it is one of the greatest things you will ever eat in your life.
I don't know how I've never heard of it.
It's so good. You get it right outside of Pirates of the Caribbean. You just go there, go get yourself a Dole Whip, and it's awesome.
Wait, is Pirates still there? I thought they removed that to do the new Star Wars stuff.
No. Pirates of the Caribbean's always going to be there. That's like a Disney staple. They changed it up a lot, though. They did add a lot of stuff to it. They put put Johnny Depp in it.
Which I gotta check that out. I think we skipped it last time my wife and I were there because we went there. All the Star Wars stuff opened on whatever Saturday it was, and we had just gotten there Saturday, so we went the following Monday, Tuesday. So we were there the first week all that stuff opened, like I don't remember what the hell it's called, but all the galaxy stuff. It was really awesome, but I've never been on Pirates.
Pirates of the Caribbean is weird now because you go through it and it's still like most of the ride is still like, you know, those animatronics from like the 60s. You know, they're just like they're kind of rudimentary. You know, they're singing their pirate songs and stuff. And then you get to where like towards the end where Johnny Depp pops up and he's like almost lifelike, you know, like his animatronics. So it's like it's so stark. You're just like, holy crap, we've come a long way in like 50 years.
I gotta check it out at some point. Her and I are talking about going somewhere. We don't know where yet, but I would love to go to Florida again.
Just go to Florida and just go to Disney and get a Dole Whip.
Well, she wants to go somewhere out west, so maybe we can go to... I've never been to Disney in California.
I haven't either. Maybe I should meet y'all out
there. I've been to Florida
1,000
times.
Go out, because I'd love to go to Disney. I want to go to L.A. just like Derek. That's where he's actually at. This weekend, and his movie, The Feature, is playing at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
It'll always be Man's Chinese Theater to me.
Yeah, either that or Grauman's. I don't even know what it's called now. I know it's just the Chinese Theater.
It's PNC, not PNC. Y2K. Y2K. I don't remember. It's some kind of initials. I forget.
It's the 9/11 Theater.
But basically, everyone that's listening that's not already needs to become a patron so we can all get airline tickets to California.
No kidding. Become a patron
and
of the show.
We'll do live shows. We can book live shows out there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Have you guys ever done a live show? A live podcast show?
Yeah, we've done a few back when... we do them every year for Pensacon. We do our panel.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And back when we used to have this bar here, a nerd bar called Wayward Kraken, we did one there one time, and it was great. But then,
of course,
Kraken closed down because of COVID, and now we have no more cool bars around here.
Yeah, that's cool. We should get you up here when a video game convention is going on.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like that's the name of it. I mean, a video game convention. I wasn't just saying when any one of them in general. I'm like, that's literally the name of it, a video game convention. I think I've sent you pictures before. But it's all retro stuff. It's really, you would dig it, man. It's all retro stuff. What? It's in the same place where that Toy Con I took you to last time you were here.
Yeah.
It's in that same venue. So it's always really big. And there's one room with all like arcade stuff set up. Like they got a bunch of arcade one-ups and guys bringing real machines. And then in the hallway, there's, I want to say like classrooms. I don't know really what you call them, but it's almost like they look like classroom settings. So that's where they have the live podcasts and signings and stuff like that. It would be so cool. I've talked to them before about doing it, and they were cool. When I used to do my one-man show podcast, that image guy, and they were cool with it, and then COVID came around, and they're like, hey, we're not going to have a convention this year. Like, okay, then I'm not going to have a podcast this year.
Yeah. If anybody listens to this show for since the beginning, back when my movie came out, I actually went up to New Jersey because the movie was in a festival up there, and I got to stay with Joey for about a week, and we went to a toy convention while I was up there, and I'd never been to a toy convention before, but
New Jersey Toy Con. I think that was only the first or second one I was at. I mean, it happened. Awesome. It's every year. I think it's like it's twice a year here, something like that. But I don't really go all that much because I'm not big into collectors of that stuff anymore. But it's really cool.
Yeah, but there was so much cool stuff there. If I would have had $1,000 just in spending money, I would have spent every dime of it.
Okay. That's where I bought my World of Warcraft Thrall Jesus, I don't even know how tall it is. It's back here somewhere. Actually, you can see it. It's right there with the one with the writing on it.
Yeah.
I think it cost me $180 or $140. It was $180 the guy wanted, and I'm like, listen, can you make me a deal? He's like, what? I said, I'm friends with Chris Metzen. He voices Thrall. Like, I understand he no longer works for Blizzard, but if I can prove to you that him and I are buddies and I can get this autographed, will you give me a break on the price? He's like, $100. So he gave it to me for $100. I showed him a picture of me and Chris, so he knew that we've at least hung out. And then when he signed it, I sent him pictures of it. I'm like, dude, it worked. I got him, I sent it to him, he signed it, shipped it back. And then I made the mistake of posting it online. And he was like, whoa, I don't work there anymore. Can you please delete that? Because people are messaging me. Because he wrote, I think it says like Thrall will return or something like that. And that was after he had like retired.
Yeah.
So he wasn't there. He wasn't there for whatever it was, 3 years, 2 years, whatever, 3-4 years, something like that. And I imagine
that caused a stir.
Yeah, he texted me. He's like, you wouldn't believe how many people are sending me messages. Can you delete that? So I deleted it. And now he's back. And I'm like, damn, maybe I could. It was 2018. That's right. It was 2018. So Messi was gone for like four and a half years. So I wonder if I could post it now.
I had the same thing happen to me a few years ago. All the cast of Clerks was in New Orleans because they were filming for Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And right. I had met them over there like to go hang out with Brian O'Halloran and stuff. So I was hanging out with the cast and crew of Clerks in New Orleans. And I took this picture with everybody, this big group picture. And I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And I posted it on Twitter. And Marilyn Gigliotti, who plays Veronica and Clerks, came up to her. She's like, you have to take that down right now. I'm like, whoa, why? She's like, nobody's supposed to know we're here. I'm like, okay. I had to delete it really quick.
She's awesome. She follows me, or we follow each other on Twitter, too. That chick's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
I just saw pictures of, I think it was at the same... Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was in Edison, the punk rock flea market.
Oh, yeah.
They do, like, two of those a year around here. So my wife and I usually go to Philadelphia and Trenton, and they moved it from Trenton to Edison. And it was this past weekend, and I thought it was two more weekends, so I didn't go. So we didn't go. I didn't even know what was going on. And then I think it was – oh, no, it wasn't. It was Diana, Brian's girlfriend. She posted pictures of it. I'm like, shit, I thought it wasn't for two more weeks. So I guess we're not going to that.
Yeah,
but it was like her and like Muse cut all his hair off. Did you see that picture?
Yep, I did.
What is that? That's not the same. He can't. He needs a wig now to film anything.
He's getting old, man. He's losing his hair, probably.
Yeah. Well, I know all about that. It's running away quickly.
But we got some news to get to this evening. You ready to jump into the news?
I am ready for that.
Usual, if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story is, of course, from one of our favorite sites, nintendolife.com. Disney's Gargoyles Remastered brings Sega Genesis Classic to Switch this October. Disney announced that the remaster of the 16-bit favorite Gargoyles will be launching on Switch on the 19th of October. It was developed by Empty Clip Studios. It was announced last September. I think that was when we talked about it. When it was announced, but they've confirmed that it is coming in October. Let's see, if you've never played it, it is a 2D side-scrolling platformer that loosely followed the plot of the cult series. It launched in 1995, and an SNES version was planned, but was later canceled. Are you kind of excited to play Gargoyles, the remaster?
I don't think I played the original one, but I am interested. I mean, I am curious. I know it's also going to be on Steam and I'm assuming PS5. Mm-hmm. I mean, PS4 I heard, but all that stuff works in PS5 anyway. So
yeah,
I may check out the PS5 version.
See, I never got to play it on the Genesis. Never played it, but I loved the TV show when I was back then. But I
haven't seen that in a while. I should look for that.
I think we did a commentary track for, I think, the first episode or two a few months back, and that kind of jump-started me wanting to watch it again. It actually does say here. It's coming out for Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, Steam, and good old games.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look for that series and add it to my server. It's been years since I've even seen it.
Yeah. It's great. It still holds up. Keith David's awesome. He needs to be the voice of everybody and everything ever.
He beat the hell out of Roddy Piper and They Live.
Oh, dude. That's one of my favorite scenes of any movie ever.
Yeah, surprisingly mine too. And I hate when they put wrestlers in a movie and they have to do wrestling moves. Like, I mean, it sounds weird coming from a wrestler, but it's so corny, man.
But not like, that I didn't fight, mind though. That.
No. There was a couple wrestling moves in that fight, but it was really good.
One of the longest fights in history.
Yeah. And I'm glad it wasn't only 4 seconds and a guy does like a rock bottom and Keith David's dead. That's it.
Yeah.
But no, it was real good. All right. Second story tonight, also from NintendoLife.com. Actually, I saw this. Not this, but I saw something similar on YouTube. Prototype for unreleased GameCube platformer game Pickles has been discovered. The game about monkeys riding unicycles. I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this either.
Where a Nintendo collector and YouTuber has discovered a lost prototype for an unreleased game developed by Santa Cruz Games for the GameCube. Cake, that's the guy's name. Cake, it's actually Cake Hoarder, bought a dev unit GameCube. See, these are cool. I've heard about these before. Cake Hoarder bought a dev unit GameCube. Inside, he discovered a disc for an unreleased GameCube game. Tested out the prototype and discovered it was for Pickles, a platformer / adventure game all about monkeys riding unicycles. According to Cake, he believes the disc has 12 levels on it, split between two different worlds, but prototype is unstable. I mean, it's a prototype. He's only got the first world to work currently. Level in question appears to be a big wharf with wooden pathways suspended above water. He's managed to capture some footage of the prototype, shared it on Twitter. You can check out the footage on his Twitter at cake_hoarder, H-O-A-R-D-E-R. There was something else. This is like, I haven't watched this, but this is super interesting. And there's a dungeon in World of Warcraft where you fight monkeys that are riding giant barrels.
Yeah.
And the barrels are full of bananas. It's the wackiest thing, but that's what this reminds me of. And I love that dungeon, so I got to try this.
Yeah, and this is cool. And I like that that guy Cake, he says he's planning to dump the ROM of the game online for game preservation, which is awesome of him, because there's a lot of people out there that would discover something like this and then be like, you know, I'm going to sell it to the highest bidder.
Wait till Nintendo calls him.
Yeah.
What ROM online? What are you talking about, kid?
Yeah. Oh, Nintendo would be litigious about something like that.
Oh, yeah, too. I don't doubt it. That's our unit. We want that back. Yeah, I saw a PS2 dev unit. Angela and I were somewhere. I think we were in Pennsylvania. She came to one of my shows in Pennsylvania because I'm in Lancaster once a month for wrestling. And she came to one of the shows a few months ago, and we went to a retro store, and they had a PS2 dev unit. It was like $700 they wanted for it, which is a bit much.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. It was like royal blue, and it had like all these extra ports in the back and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, I've never seen a dev unit in real life.
For any system?
Nope.
I think that PS2 is the only one that I saw, or that I've seen a person at least.
Yeah. Next story is from videogamescchronicle.com. Never heard of this site before until now. Four more retro games are on Switch Online, including two available in the West for the first time. Nintendo has added four more games to its Nintendo Switch Online service. The SNES library gets the Super Famicom version of Kirby Star Stacker, a puzzle game that was only released on the Game Boy in the West. This marks the first ever release of the 16-bit version outside of Japan. The NES library gets two other Japanese titles, Joy Mech Fight and Downtown Neketsu March Super Awesome Field Day. Say that three times fast.
I can't say it once.
And the Game Boy Color library also gets one game, Quest for Camelot.
Quest for Camelot is an old PC game, if I remember correctly.
I thought so, too, because when I saw this, I went through the Switch the other night and saw that all this stuff had dropped. Really, honestly, Quest for Camelot's the only one that really kind of interested me, because I was going to say the same thing. I thought that was a PC game, back in the day.
It sounds really familiar. I mean, I see the picture of it in the like the video screenshot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It looks really familiar. I didn't realize it was maybe it was a PC game. I don't know. I know it's old, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it out this week and see what it's like. Some of this other stuff that dropped, like Joy Mech Fight and Downtown Neketsu March Super Awesome Field Day. Never really heard of them, so I'm not really like, ooh, what is this?
I can hear a title called Mech Fight and know what it is.
Yeah,
but Downtown. Jesus Christmas. Downtown. I'm trying to read it. Downtown Neketsu March Super Awesome Field Day. It sounds like gym class.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Like, in March. Like, it's super awesome. We're on the field day in gym class in March, and it's freezing. I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't hear that and know what the hell it is.
Makes me think of Clerks, the animated series. Like, who is driving? Oh, my God, Bear's driving. How can that be? All right, last story.
I was actually considering selling my Switch. I don't know.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
I know. I don't. My justification to myself was I don't use it. I haven't touched it in probably like 2 years. Like every once in a while, I'll power it on just to make sure it's still alive.
Dude,
but
it is my absolute favorite system of the last like 10 years.
I know. I don't understand how that's possible. Like,
I don't know. I've had so many good gaming. So many good times gaming on that system in the last, since I got it in 2017. I mean, I've loved everything I've done on it, like Mario Odyssey, both of the Zelda games, Metroid Dread. I mean, there's just been so many great games on that system that those are the only games I've really completed, like AAA title type games, other than Days Gone and things like that. But
right. But on Switch though,
yeah.
I
wish they put Days Gone.
Like,
if they put Days Gone on Switch, I know you would play it.
Mad
too.
I would have a reason to use my Switch because I already have it on my Steam Deck and my ROG Ally.
Tyler Watson in the chat room says that the Field Day game is part of the Kunio Kun series, which we know as River City Ransom.
Now I'm interested. Okay, yeah. Now I'm interested. I love River City Ransom.
Yeah. I didn't know that at all. Okay, Now I'm going to go play it.
Yeah, I love River City Ransom. Now I'll probably check that out. But yeah, man, like I bought it originally for Breath of the Wild, and then that just didn't grab me. Mm. Like I played like 4 or 5 hours, and I'm like, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere.
I
even bought the little the card, the cards you can scan, like the NFC cards you can scan. I bought a pack of those off of eBay. It was like, I think there's 12 or something in there. I don't remember. Or I paid $12 maybe. But I just never grabbed me.
Yeah.
Like every one that you scan gives you like a different free. It's weird because you scan it and then the item just drops out of the sky.
That's
like,
cool.
What the hell's going on here? So I do them all in a row really fast. And this crap is falling. But like that never grabbed me, and I wanted Super Mario Odyssey, but I was like kind of bummed by Breath of the Wild, so I didn't even bother. But I do have Wallachia, which is such a good game. Like that's Castlevania type. Mm-hmm. That's a really good game. But I don't know. I still want to put like a streaming/podcasting/YouTube studio in my basement. There's a one bedroom apartment down there with a bedroom, obviously. But I want to put it in that bedroom, so I always thought it would be cool if, like, behind my streaming setup, I had a shelf with, like, the ROG. I'm pointing to it as if you could see it, but the ROG Ally, my Steam Deck, and the Switch, right? Like, all three handhelds. Uh-huh. I don't know.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should go get your Switch and download Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. Go play that for a little while.
I have that on Steam, I think. Which I use a controller for when I play it.
Well, which one do you play? Is it the 8-bit NES version or the modern-looking version?
No, the NES-looking one.
Okay. Because that game's great.
I played it. When I first played it, I'm like, this is kind of like, it's too Castlevania for me. Like,
well, that's
I can just
what
play
it
Castlevania. Well, I know. I'm like, I can just play Castlevania. But then I kind of kept playing more of it, and I'm like, this game's really good. And that Wallachia game, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. That game is good, too.
Yeah, I love the Wallachia game. Cause, I mean,
that's
it's almost like a more realistic take on the whole like Castlevania.
And it's hard. That game's hard, man. Yeah. I can't. I don't think I can get past the first stage. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've played it, but that game is difficult.
Yeah, I got pretty far in it, but yeah, that game is very, very difficult. But yeah, the Bloodstained games are made by the people who made Castlevania, because Konami ain't doing anything. So they're like, well, screw it. We'll go make our own Castlevania game.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good. It's real good. All right. And so the last news story for this week is also from Video Games Chronicle. It says, after 25 years, Sega is bringing Daytona USA 2 to consoles for the first time. I don't know what Like a Dragon is. I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever played it.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Classic Sega arcade racing game Daytona USA 2 will receive its first ever home port 25 years after the arcade release. That's a long time.
I know.
According to the latest issue of Japanese magazine Famitsu, which reports the 1998 racer will appear in Like a Dragon Gaiden, and the man who erased his name, as the renamed Sega Racing Classic 2. God, that's hard to say, too.
Yeah.
In order to avoid rights issues. Originally, Daytona USA 2, this part I knew, was planned to be released on Dreamcast, but project was finally canceled, and they released like a weird like special version of the original, which was Daytona USA 2001. It wasn't really much different than the original, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Other games set to appear in the next Like a Dragon are Fighting Vipers 2, I've played that, which only received a Dreamcast port in Japan and Europe, but Dreamcast is not, it's region free, so
yeah,
it doesn't really matter where it came out. It'll work. I've played that on Dreamcast before. Flicky and Galaxy Force. I don't know what Flicky is.
I don't either.
Previous games in the Yakuza series have let players discover and play classic Sega arcade games. Space Harrier, Fantasy Zone, Virtua Fighter 2, Super Hang-On, and Puyo Puyo have been available in the past. Also, this isn't in the article, this is just from memory, but Shenmue has an arcade in it also in Dobuita City. And you can go in there and play, like, there's Super Hang-On, I think, is one of them, Outrun, and Space Harrier, I think, is also there. It's cool, it's really cool. That's basically it about this game. The rest goes on to talk about the Sega's arcades, man. I heard about this recently. They have a bunch of arcades in Japan, and I thought they all shut down. Apparently they were just sold and then renamed, but they're still open. I think they were just called Sega Arcade, if I remember. It doesn't really say here.
I think they are just Sega Arcades.
Right?
Yeah.
So they sold off the business in 2022, and then...
I remember. I remember us talking about this. That Sega, the branding changed to GIGO.
G-I-G-O. I actually think I don't know if I was on the show or if we talked about this, like in a group text or something. But I remember talking to you about this for some reason, and one of you, I don't know if it was you or Derek, like linked me to like a picture of it, of one of them at least in Japan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so now they're GIGO Entertainment, but they changed. So all the arcades are still there. They're just called GIGO now, whatever the hell that means.
I wish we still had arcades like that in America, though. I just want an arcade like they were back in the like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... I'll take you to my buddy's arcade, which luckily is 4 miles from here. It's beautiful. We don't have to go on a Tuesday. We can go anytime, but I'll have to bring you there to Billy's. It's Billy's Midway, like Bally's Midway. Uh-huh. It's the same logo and everything. He just changed the A to an I, but, I'll have to take you there when you come up here, man. It's great. He's a big pinball guy though. So there's a lot more pinball than regular arcade machines, but he's got, something like 100, 130 other arcade machines in the back of the place where I hang out when I go there on Tuesdays that, they're plugged in just so like me and our little group can play them. But every like month or so he'll swap out like 5 or 6. And then he'll rotate them back in another month or two later or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the only one that I really know of that's around here. That there was a couple that Angela took me to. Like, we went to Boston for vacation, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And we went to one retro store that had a huge arcade in the back with the same thing. And behind their arcade was just a wall, and they had another, like, 30 or 40 games that the owner would swap out every couple months or every few weeks or whatever. But I don't know. That's the only one that I know of, man. It's like Billy's Midway, which is great. I mean, I love going there, but there's got to be something else.
Yeah, we have a Margaritaville here that has a huge arcade in it, but the thing, it has some great stuff in it, but like over half of it is ticket machine type stuff, you know?
Right.
Like the,
that reminds me when you said Margaritaville. There's also a place around here called Marcade, which is it's owned by a guy named Mark, so Marcade. I don't even remember where it is. I've been there before. It's funny because this guy Mark that owns Marcade, I've known for many years, and we lost touch whatever a long time ago. Nothing, you know, nothing happened. We just lost touch. And he ended up adding me on Facebook a couple of years ago, and I put pictures. I was there one night, and he wasn't there, so I didn't know it was his place. And he responded, he's like, "You know what the MARC in Marcade means?" I'm like, "I don't know, Mark." He's like, "Yeah, I own that place." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't know that." He's like, "Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I've owned it for like whatever 7 years or something like that." So now I know two guys that own arcades. You know what, man? Here's what's gonna happen. There's this is not what's the word? Non-negotiable. You and your woman are going to move up here. We're going to find a location. We're going to open a retro store with an arcade in the back.
Yes.
I dig that. Five or $10 an hour, maybe, to play whatever arcade you want, something like that. I think Marcade is like $10 for 2 hours and $15 for 3 hours, something like that. And everything is just on free play. Yeah. I like the name Flipping Great Pinball, by the way.
Yeah. yeah, I never heard of that before. Tyler in the chat room's talking about an arcade podcast called Padukan, and they are based out of an arcade in Tallahassee called Flippin' Great Pinball.
Which is, it's cool that there's like a podcast area set up in an arcade.
I know. That's the dream. That is the dream.
That would be a great addition to our retro store / arcade. But, and I'd put my one up there. I'd put my one up in there, and because there's 2,400 games in there, so if we don't want to buy something we don't want to buy Commando for $400. Yeah. Like, all right, it's on here. Just play it, and I'll put a printed list on the side of every game.
Yeah,
people could dig through and see if it's on there.
Yeah, but
and it's running... got a coin. It's got a working coin slot in the front of it, so we can turn it on if we need to.
Get about 10 of those. We could be making some money.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But we're running a little bit late tonight, so we're going to skip this month in video game history.
Actually,
before we go into the review for tonight,
Can I just bring up one thing in this month in video game history?
Sure.
2000, September 7th, Sega.com launches SegaNet, online console gaming network, which came out a year after Dreamcast. And luckily, thanks to the Dream Pi and Raspberry Pi, I could still get on online with Dreamcast and still play Phantasy Star 2 online.
That's crazy.
I loved SegaNet. What? Wow. So you can 23 years old.
You can still get on a Dreamcast online.
Yeah, you need one little piece of hardware that you can get online for $20 from I think it's Dreamcast.store or something like that.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's so cool. And a Raspberry Pi. And you don't even need a monitor or anything. You literally just plug this thing in, download the program to the SD card and plug it in, and when you turn it on, it's automatically connected.
Wow.
It basically tricks the Dreamcast into thinking that the modem adapter is a broadband adapter.
Uh-huh.
But it works. It's great. I played Phantasy Star Online, a few months ago. It's crazy that, like you said, it is crazy, but it's so cool.
But it's crazy that there's that many people still playing online, that you can get online and play it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what blows my mind about it.
If you go to dreamcast.online/now, it will show you everyone that's online at the moment and what they're playing.
All right.
So
we're going to have to do an extra episode 1 month with you and just talk about Dreamcast and everything you can still do.
Oh, that would be awesome. So right now, like, McDaddy US is playing Sonic Adventures 2. and then Unnamed is playing... I don't know. It doesn't say. It's just he's at the menu screen. It's so cool, though.
That just blows my mind. That would be like you telling me that, like, you know, you could get online and still play like a Super Nintendo with people online. Like, that would just be so weird.
I have to get my I would have to get my Dreamcast out of the closet and the Dream Pi and hook it all up. But I would love to do that. That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. But before we go into the review tonight, I'm going to do our Patreon shoutouts, which is usually Derek's job, but I'm going to do it this evening. And let's see, we're going to start out with James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on Discord, who's one of our newest patrons, Mr. Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mike Evelyn, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mr. Tyler Watson, AxeBlade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I Am the Rampage.
Rampage!
Staff Sergeant
I hope that was
Sketch.
Good enough, Derek.
Yeah. Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, at Joey Image YT, and Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond. Thank you all for being patrons of the show. And if you're not a patron, now's the perfect time to do it. It's the beginning of the Is it still the beginning of the month? What is the date today?
I keep thinking today, September 11th.
Holy crap. We're all
sort of. I mean, within the first 2 weeks, I consider it the beginning of the month.
Ooh, man, this month is flying by. But go be a patron. Last month, me and Derek put out a patron-only show all about us talking about Tears of the Kingdom. It's a Tears of the Kingdom spoiler cast, if you will. And
I should listen to that because I'm probably not going to play. I was avoiding it because I'm like, what if I get it? But you know what? I'm probably not going to get it. So whatever.
But if that only
or maybe it'll make
you
want to get it.
Yeah, it might. Go listen to it. You might actually might make you want to play it. But if you're a patron, go check that out. If you're not a patron, that's the only way you're going to get it. And you can get it at the $1 level. Even at the $1 level, you get your own personal RSS feed where you get no ads in the show. And like I said, you get the – and usually all of our extra Patreon content, the commentary tracks we do every month, you get about a month before everybody else. And we've done commentary tracks for everything. So go check it out. If you want to be a patron, go to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And if you're a new patron, send us your social media so we can give you a shout out on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Off. Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
So tonight, I will be talking about... Let me find the music. Here we go. Hero is a 1991 run-and-gun game published by Taxan for the NES based on the toy line of the same name. It was produced by Ken Lobb and developed by the same Japanese team that later formed KID. A sequel developed by the same team titled G.I. Joe The Atlantis Factor was released the following year, but was published by Capcom after Taxan went out of business. The player takes control of a team of three G.I. Joe characters, each with his own specialty. The goal of the game is to navigate through six stages on a mission to finally bring down Cobra. And you can play as Duke, Snake Eyes, Blizzard, Captain Gridiron, and Rock and Roll. And later on, you get to play Hawk. So that was actually one of the coolest things I thought about this game, is it sort of has that original Ninja Turtles thing where you can switch between the players and they act as sort of like a, you know, like a an extra life, if you will.
Yeah.
As you're going through the game.
Like a tag team.
Yeah, yeah. And this game, we're roughly the same age, and I don't know if you were into G.I. Joe as much as I was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back
yeah.
when I was a kid, but I lived and breathed He-Man and G.I. Joe when
Those
I was
were my
a kid.
Two guys. I still love all that stuff, man.
And for some reason, maybe because this came out in 91. Oh, even Buddy. Listen, Buddy's like, I want to talk about G.I. Joe, too. Buddy the Italian Beagle.
Yeah, he's screaming over there. I don't
Good
know.
Lord.
I'm trying to.
Give that boy some treats. But I think maybe because this came out in 91 and the Super Nintendo was coming out, like, maybe that's why this kind of went under my radar. Like, I didn't remember this game being a thing until relatively recently.
I think it went under mine, too, because I played it today, actually, because I saw that you were reviewing, or you said last week you were reviewing it, so I played it today. I went through, like, a slew of NES games this afternoon, and I played both of them. This one and Atlantis Factor, or whatever the hell it's called, are basically the same, just different maps, almost.
Yeah. But I thought it was crazy that, because I was wondering why the second game came out and was produced by Capcom, and the first one was Taxan. Because I was like, that's kind of weird to have a sequel come out under a different publisher.
Right.
And they look so similar. Like, if you play these games back-to-back, they're very... I mean, you could definitely tell that they used a lot of the assets from the first game in the second game as well.
It was Atlantis Factor, is that what it was called?
Yeah, yeah. Because at first I didn't know which one came out first, because I was looking these games up, you know, of course, Googling them, and because they had popped up in my YouTube at one point, and there's a speedrunner that I like called Arcus, and he was playing G.I. Joe Real American Hero. I was like, I've never seen this game before. So I jumped on Google and was looking up, and I saw both the games. I was like, well, which one came out first? Because you would think, like, you know, Capcom would have been the first one to come out. And because I was thinking maybe because they did this a lot back then where two different companies would put out games of the same sort of IP and they would be completely different type of games from one another. But like I said, these were actually developed by the same developer, just published under different companies. But it was the same team making both games.
Yeah. I didn't get very far in the second one at all. Like, that one's difficult.
Yeah, I didn't play very much.
I didn't get that good
sequel.
In the first one either.
The first one, actually, I did some streaming of it about a week or so ago.
I watched that for a little bit, yeah.
And played a little bit more after that. Didn't get really much further than that. I think I got to, the third level. Got to the third boss before I stopped streaming. And the thing was, is the first time I played this about a month or so ago, or 3 weeks ago, something like that. The very first time I played it, I didn't know that the controller I was using, that the select button wasn't working. So I'm playing this game and I can't figure out.
Oh, that's what you used to switch from fist to a gun.
Fist to gun. And I'm like, why are there no guns in this game? Like, I'm going through the game punching everything and I'm getting ammunition, but I have no way to shoot. And I'm like, what? And I looked up the game manual.
You just throw the bullets.
And it didn't say anything about hitting the select button to change weapons. And so I'm like, how do you play? Like, I'm literally got through the first stage. The whole final boss took me like an hour because I was trying to punch this plane out of the air until later on I figured out that my controller was bad and the select button wasn't working. So the second time I played it online was when after I had figured out, like, oh, this game is a lot easier when your freaking select button works.
Yeah. Oh, he agrees with you. I don't know if you hear him. He's still yelling.
But I was playing that whole damn game just punching everything. I was like, how do you shoot? It was so stupid sometimes.
Did you finish the game or no?
No, I got like right to the middle of the fourth level. I didn't even get to the fourth boss, I don't think. I got a little further than where I stopped when I was streaming. But the thing I like most about this game is the graphics and the music for this game are freaking top notch, man.
Yeah, I dig it a lot. I didn't get very far, but I liked it.
And the controls, actually, once I figured out that the controls were like that, the controls for the game are pretty tight. Like the actual platforming of the
game.
Are
you using like a USB, like an NES, a regular NES controller?
Yeah, it's actually I have several different controllers that I use. This is one that I use a lot. It's just a Hyperkin.
Okay. It's an NES controller.
Yeah, it's like a Super Nintendo controller. Yeah. And I have my other one that's literally just like an NES controller, and that's the one.
Yeah, I have like two of those USB and two Super NES USBs.
My stupid select button's not working on it anymore, so I switched over to my SNES Hyperkin, and it actually worked.
How far did you get in the second game?
I didn't get far at all. I don't even think I got through the first level. Like
I know I didn't. Second one's a lot harder than the first one.
And that's what I heard too. I actually looked up a couple of YouTube videos of some people speed running it, and I actually saw a review of the second game from Capcom, the Atlantis Factor. They were saying that it's a great game, but it's definitely not that it's harder than the first game. It's a little long. Like some of it's monotonous. Like it's kind of longer than the first game because there's a lot of times. In the first game, there's some levels where you go. It's kind of like a maze where you go around in these platforming levels, and you're putting explosives, throughout the place, so you can blow up, the building. And in the first game, it's like you do like at most, I think like four or five explosives. Yeah. But in the second game, it's like do like 12 explosives. Yeah.
I remember watching you do the first one on your stream.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun. Level. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's fun. But yeah, I could see where that would get monotonous because it is sort of like you can get lost very easily if you're not paying attention. Yeah, yeah. Like it's that type of game. But it's not all like that, though. There's a lot of it where it's just straight platforming and you're going through, it's your basic running gun. And I forgot who it was that was watching me on the stream said it reminded them of Metal Slug. And that's sort of what it reminded me of, too. like an NES version of Metal Slug.
I can see that. I can see the resemblance there.
But I thought it was really awesome, and this would have blown my mind as a kid, being able to switch through the different Joes throughout the game. And another thing about the second game, I think they said there's more Joes to choose from in the second game because there's like an overhead map world.
I couldn't figure out, will you start... When you start, it reminds me of Mario 3 because it's got the overhead map right there, and you move around to each spot or whatever. So I did that, and I went to the first one, and I could only use, I think it was like Duke. And I don't know what buttons to hit because I kept hitting select, and it wouldn't change anything. So I don't know what the hell I did. But I couldn't figure out how to pick a different guy.
And also in the second game, too, there's also like it's almost like RPG elements where you can kind of upgrade, where you collect all the different, power-ups and stuff, and you upgrade your weapons and all that type of stuff.
That's
kind of
cool.
And they say it's really cool, but for some of the later Joes that you get, like, you don't get enough stuff to put points into, and they're so late in the game that, like, they're kind of lame.
It's kind of, yeah, it's a waste.
Like they're really underpowered.
Not really, yeah.
So that's one of those things that kind of, not that they say it ruins the second game, but it's just one of those things where, like, why would you put, you know, a lot of Joes that late in a game where you can't upgrade them to a point where they're usable, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what you play G.I. Joe for. I mean, that's why we collected them as kids. Like, you want all the Joes. You want to and that's sort of, if they were to do a G.I. Joe game now, that's what I would want to do. I want to be able to pick from, like, 50 different Joes, and they all have, like, different stats. You
Did
know?
You play the PS4 one that came out, like, 2 years ago or something?
Was it based off the movie?
No.
No?
It was based off the cartoon. It was horrible.
Really?
It got terrible reviews. I bought it just because it's G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the name of it. I played it for hours too, but it was horrible. It was stupid. It was like the same. It was almost like the same map. Every stage was the same map. It was just you were like a different character and you had to kill different guys or whatever. But
yeah,
it wasn't good. I mean, that's not a good review, but.
But see, that's all I really need.
That's not a very informative review, I should say, but it just, I don't even remember what it was called, but just go to YouTube and look for, like, G.I. Joe PS4. I'm sure it'll come up.
Yeah. Tyler in the chat room said it's a beat-em-up like Shredder's Revenge.
They are doing one.
But honestly, like, that sounds awesome to me. If they were to do a game sort of in that same vein as Shredder's Revenge, but give me different G.I. Joes to go through... Like, make it almost like a more realistic, not realistic, but a little more graphically advanced than, like, Broforce. Something like Broforce.
Oh, Broforce was so good. So the G.I. Joe game is called Operation Blackout.
Let me look this up real quick. Operation.
Wait, what is G.I. Joe Wrath of Cobra? It says just came out 10 days ago on IGN's YouTube. Official trailer.
Huh. I don't know.
Oh, it's a new game. Oh, boy.
Ooh, what is it? What's it called?
The G.I. Joe Wrath of Cobra? This is a game? It looks exactly like the cartoon.
Oh, if they're giving me a game that looks like the cartoon.
Yeah, will be available in 2024. Is this real? This looks amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, see, the first comments is finally the game we all wanted as a kid.
G.I. Joe, this is from IGN. Yeah. This was August 31st. How did we miss this?
I don't know. I'm watching it now, too. I've never seen this before.
G.I. Joe Wrath of Cobra is a retro-style beat-em-up set for PC and Nintendo Switch.
Where'd you see that?
It's on IGN.
I'm looking at the YouTube video.
Gameplay revolves around combos, dodging, and parrying. There's hand-drawn pixel art and classic cartoon cutscenes with an arcade-inspired soundtrack from T. Lopes, who did Sonic Mania, Shredder's Revenge, Streets of Rage 4, Mr. X Nightmare DLC, and Crush 40's lead vocalist Johnny Gioli from Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020.
Looks awesome.
Dude, this
looks This does
incredible.
Look like TMNT.
It does.
Are you seeing the YouTube video?
Ask it. Yo, well, I'm looking at the screenshots right now. They have.
All
right.
So if you watch the YouTube, like when you get to like 1 minute and 20, that's gameplay.
Dude, ask and you shall receive, man.
Oh, my God. This looks so good.
I need $1 million in a sec.
When is it? This is coming out when? 2024. Not soon enough.
No kidding.
Maple powered games by Freedom Games. Oh, this looks so good. I don't know how I never heard of this. I completely missed it, but man, that looks good.
Yeah, it just says the first quarter of 2024 on PC via Steam, Epic Games Store, Good Old Games, and Nintendo Switch.
Can you post links in the chat or no? I can't.
I don't think it works.
I just put a link to that gameplay video
in
the chat room.
I'm going to put a link to the IGN article into the Discord under the...
Oh, cool.
Self promo.
Yeah, I have to read that. I didn't see that. I just went. So it's IGN, also the YouTube video, but all it says is check out the reveal trailer for blah, blah, blah. Will be available in 2024. Doesn't actually say anything about it.
This is awesome, dude. This
man,
is...
this looks good.
Ask and you shall receive, man. That was weird.
This is a redemption for this garbage Operation Blackout game.
No kidding. But back to the NES game.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm on this big now. I'm on a big GI Joe kick. I'm gonna watch Arise or Pinto Arise tonight.
Honestly, I would say the NES game, the original Real American Hero, is worth the going back and playing it.
By the way, Operation Blackout is on Switch also, so you could probably get it cheap.
I don't know.
It's probably really cheap now.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I got it just to have it, and it's terrible, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would say if you're an NES collector, this is something that needs to be in the collection. I'm going to look up on eBay real
quick. It's on eBay. The Operation Blackout game is on eBay for Switch for $14. Oof. Sealed, brand new sealed. My God, $250. Oh wait, never mind. This is just the box.
Oh man, the NES game goes for quite a bit of money these days. Well, actually, there's one here. Buy it.
Are you looking at? Are you looking at eBay?
Yeah, there's one that's buy it now for $31.99.
Oh, there's a Jesus. There's one with no just a loose cart for $87.
Yeah, these are going to run you anywhere from $75 to $100 for just a loose cart.
Yeah, $31.99. There's no CIB ones at all.
Here's one with a box and the instruction booklet. $355.
Oh, I didn't even get to that. I saw there's a Atlantis Factor one. Complete in box for $185.
Yeah. Even the Atlantis Factor goes for a good bit of money. There's one here, $97.
There's $357.
$49.99. One buy it now for $49.95.
What? Wait a minute. Nintendo NES G.I. Joe the Atlantis Factor, brand new, sealed. I mean, the picture, you can see like the plastic wrap.
Uh-huh.
$2,900.
Whoa!
Nobody's paying $3,000 for this.
No.
Are you people kidding me?
I mean,
it's sealed. It's still sealed. I don't know how that's.
Unless you're a hardcore G.I. Joe collector. I mean.
Or this is like the last game you need to complete your NES collection.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's in Yarmouth, Maine.
Yeah, $2,900.
$2,900.
That is a lot of money.
Shockingly, there's zero bids so far. Can't believe this.
But yeah, let me look up, let's see, all listings.
Eight people are watching this, but zero bids so far.
Yeah, I would say if you're
there is,
get it.
Actually, there's no bids because it's not a bidding. It's only buy it now. Oh my God, yeah. This is crazy.
I would say if you can afford it, it's a pretty good game to have. Or just, you know, go get a ROM.
You can afford the $3,000.
I'm not dropping $3,000 for a G.I. Joe game. Not going to happen. If I'm going to spend $3,000, it's going to be all the toys plus the USS flag.
Oh, I was going to say to get your car fixed.
Well, that too.
You can just do that, get it fixed, and just drive up here.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say about the game. I mean, it's your basic side-scrolling shoot 'em up. You get to play, you know, all at least six different Joes. You get to play as Duke, Snake Eyes, Captain Gridiron, Rock and Roll, Blizzard, and General Hawk. They all kind of.
I don't remember who Blizzard is.
Blizzard was. He is the guy that kind of looks like Snake Eyes, but he has skis. Not Snake Eyes, but the. Who was the white ninja?
Storm Shadow.
Storm Shadow. Yeah, he kind of looks like Storm Shadow a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to look that up. I remember Snow Job. But I don't remember Ski or Blizzard.
Whoa.
I was just skis. Well, I remember the name Snow Job.
Yeah.
It rhymes with something. I always thought, like, is this for kids, this guy? Because his name rhymes with what it rhymes with. I don't understand how that's on a kid's show.
Yeah, I don't know. They skirted the line there for a lot of stuff back when we were kids. Some of the reception of the game, Electronic Gaming Monthly gave it a 30 out of 40. GamePro gave it 18 out of 25. Nintendo Power gave it a 7.6 out of 10.
You're talking about the original one.
Yeah, the original NES game. I really enjoyed my time with it. It's one of those games that I'm going to end up playing more and more. I would actually like to learn how to speed run it and play it.
That would be awesome.
You know, on stream. And yeah. I might actually do that because it is a pretty well-made game. I actually enjoyed my time in there. I would give it a solid 8 out of 10 as far as NES games go.
I can see that. The side-scrolling stuff reminds me of Contra. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't as fast-paced as Contra, but it's definitely man. In that vein. If you enjoy Contra, you'll enjoy the G.I. Joe game, I would think.
$1,950. Sorry. I'm looking of when you were playing your stream, I mentioned in the chat that something about the Atari. I used to play G.I. Joe on Atari. Mm-hmm. So I just randomly looked up G.I. Joe Atari review, and it popped up some eBay sales. There's one for $1,950. Sealed in the box and everything.
Yeah, I just
$400, $500, $125.
I just can't believe it. It just, I never heard of the game until a few years ago, or not too terribly long ago.
I'm sure on YouTube there's a video of the Atari 2600 version, and it looks terrible, but it's, why does this bring me to Bing? Who the hell uses Bing?
Nobody.
Wait, what is going on? But yeah, that's the game, that's the one that I used to play as a kid, was the 2600 version. I don't think I knew about the NES one till recently either.
But I really much enjoyed it. I wish I would have played this as a kid. I would have really enjoyed playing this as a kid. And it seems weird, like it came out in 91. That seems like it might have been a little bit after G.I. Joe's heyday as well. Like G.I. Joe was more of a, you know, mid to late 80s.
Yeah, thing. I think the TV series ended in like 87 maybe. They came out with newer stuff later, but I think the original series ended, or maybe it started in 87 and ended in 89 or something.
Yeah, it wasn't on very long, but that was back in the days where they could do, you know, two seasons of a cartoon but have like 300 episodes because they had to put them out like every
Some of
day.
Them were like 56 episodes in a season.
Yeah, like what Thundercats. Thundercats only had like two seasons, but it had like 65 episodes a season.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Because they were putting those things out. Like they were playing them every day. Like I remember back then, like G.I. Joe was on every afternoon and the weekends. Like there was never a time when G.I. Joe was not on TV on some channel.
There used to be, I'm looking for it now. I don't see it, but oh no, it's still there. There's a G.I. Joe by the official Hasbro, YouTube channel that just plays G.I. Joe episodes 24/7.
Yeah.
I have that on my TV sometimes. It's just background
Yeah,
sound.
I watch that occasionally, G.I. Joe channel on YouTube.
Yeah, well, there's the Hasbro channel shows the original cartoons, and then the G.I. Joe channel shows G.I. Joe Renegades.
That's awesome.
Just 24/7. That's so
that's
cool.
Going to bring us to the end of the episode. Joey, tell everybody what you got going on, man.
I am in... I have a big wrestling weekend coming up, actually. I've got a show Friday. I'm doing commentary now for, if anybody remembers, Ricardo Rodriguez. He was Alberto Del Rio's personal ring announcer in WWE for 2-3 years, whatever. He lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so he runs his own company now. So I work for him. So I've got to do a commentary. So I've got a show Friday. Speaking of He-Man, did you see the He-Man shirt that I got?
Yeah,
I show you the
button up. Yeah,
the He-Man button down. Yeah, so I'm wearing that for commentary Friday night.
Awesome.
And I also bought a tie that matches the black bandana that I always wear.
Yeah.
It's the same design, just on a tie. So I'm gonna wear, because it's a button down shirt, the He-Man one. So I'm gonna wear my bandana that I always wear, the tie that matches, and then the He-Man button down.
That's
so
awesome.
Anyway. That's Friday in Lancaster. Then Saturday is a wrestling fan convention during the day that I'll be at, representing that company, actually. And then Saturday night, there's another show in Hamburg, Pennsylvania at the Hamburg Fieldhouse, which is a legendary venue. I think was an airplane hangar during World War II. It's enormous. I loved wrestling in that building. Anyway, besides that, you can find me on all socials. And well, now, as of last week, you can find me on Xbox Game Pass PC. Joey Image YT, as is in Joey Image YouTube, just at Joey Image YT on everything. I've been playing a lot of Starfield, so I know it's on Steam, I think, but when I bought my RG Ally, it came with 3 months free of Game Pass Ultimate, mm-hmm. which I think that's the one that works on both, right? PC and an Xbox.
Yeah.
So I don't have an Xbox. I don't need one. I mean, I have my PS5. So I've been playing Starfield on that because it came out last Tuesday, I think. So I'm on there. I'm on PlayStation. I think my PlayStation is, I think that's still Joey Image, but whatever. All social media, Joey Image YT.
And I will put that in the show notes. So if you want to go follow Mr. Joey Image, please go do that.
Yes,
and for open micers this week, we're actually tonight in about 30 minutes, I'm going to be talking to comedian Steve Byrne, who, if you don't know who he is, yeah, you do. Go look him up. He's been on The Tonight Show a million times. He's got 4 different specials you can go check out. He's awesome. He does a podcast with Joe Gatto from the Impractical Jokers called Two Cool Moms that he does. And so go check him out. Go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers. And I think that's going to do it for this evening. So let me play our music here. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That takes you to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our Patreon, and our merch shop, which is ncrmerch.com. You can go get t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JPunktastic, at Derek_Diamond, and at Mr. Joe, at Joey Image YT. And you can leave a review for the show and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. And that helps us out. And it only takes a minute out of your day. So go help us out just a little bit. Just a little bit. And if you want to watch the show live, go visit my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JFunktastic. And like Derek says, may the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Master Blaster runs Bardetown.
You blow it!
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.